Glad all of y'all made it today. Glad I made it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thing about being the pastor, you really can't call in. You got to show up. Amen. Turn over to Daniel 3, please. Daniel 3, we'll start about verse 9. Amen. We'll pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father God, just like we fed ourselves throughout the day today. I thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to be able to feed our faith on the Word of God this evening. I thank you, Father God, we're not just hearers of the Word, but we are doers. I thank you, Father God, everything that we see in your Word, even if we don't understand, we just say right then, I thank you, Father God, I receive it by faith. I might not understand it fully, but because it's in the Word of God, I understand that you said it. And so I'll receive it by faith, and I thank you for it. And Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this evening, things that we've not seen from the Word, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that we will do everything that the Word says we can do. We will be everything the Word says we can be, and we will have everything the Word says we can have. And I thank you, Father God, we receive it by faith right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said, Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a few things to you real fast. Give me 1 second. I should have pulled it up already, but I didn't. Everybody RSVP'd for the party?
Yes, sir.
It's free 99. You can't beat that. It's free. Free, free, free. Free food. Nothing wrong with free food. Amen. I had this in my notes, and I was going through my notes the other day, and it helped me. It says, don't let time be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to your overflow. Amen. Amen. Don't let time be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to your overflow. And then I wrote down, Satan wants to put pressure on you to get you off of your faith and off your source to see if there's another way in the natural to do it. And then I'll put in parentheses, a faster way.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Satan is trying to get you to say what he wants you to see.
Amen.
Satan is trying to get you to say what he wants you to see. Amen. God's trying to get you to see, trying to see yourself how he says.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And how do we do that? By getting into the Word of God, right?
Yes.
And reading exactly what the Word of God says about us. Amen.
Amen.
Satan's trying to get us to say what he wants us to see. And then I put down, you're running out. Amen. So you know you're going along, and you're tithing, you're giving offering, you're moving, you're claiming money, you're just moving along. Then something comes up, and all of a sudden you see this big bill, and the first thing out of our mouth sometimes, because I've done it, was, where are we going to get this money?
Yes.
Ice came right off the source.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Yes. All right. Right off the source, right? Why? Because pressure was applied.
Yes.
Pressure was applied, and so pressure will let you know where you're at real quickly. You ever, I don't know if any of y'all's ever been in a fight before. We used to club and things like that when I was in the military. We'd go out just to see what was happening, but we'd always find out who was with us and who wasn't. One night we came back to the barracks, and I had a buddy his last name was Scarborough. This kid, or he is older than me, but he is about this tall. Little firecracker though. Did not care. Mm-mm. We came back to the barracks one night. We were acting like heathens. And so we came back and we're going into the barracks and we're walking down the hall heading to our rooms, and I look over and we see this one kid, about three or four dudes on him. And so we went over to find out what was going on. And so what ended up happening was somebody got a key in their hand and started trying to get me in the, and actually snuck up behind me and hit me in the back of the head. But before I knew it, Scarborough was gone, but he was back that fast and he had a pair of bolt cutters about this long. And so we just called it an equalizer, because if there's four or five of y'all and then one of y'all wants to get a key and try to sneak up behind me, right? I'm not saying by any means just go out and get do that. I don't even know why we're talking about that right now. Oh, when pressure is applied, that's what it was. I found out who was with me and who wasn't, because there wasn't just me and Scarborough. There's a few of us. But the littlest one out of all of us didn't leave me.
Amen.
You find out who's with you and who's not when the pressure hits. See, because it's easy to say, yeah, I'm in faith, I'll believe with you. But when the pressure's applied, where are you standing? Are you with me, or are you back there now going, I don't know how God's going to do it. Maybe you just got to live with that one for the rest of your life now. You know, I know somebody died with that. You know, I know. I said I was believing with you, but man, it looks real bad now. Amen. So when pressure's applied, where are we standing? Yes. Are we in the same exact spot, or are we back? Right. In the same exact spot, I'm not saying you're just staying stagnant, but I'm saying you're not moving. Right. Even though everything in the world is telling you that it's not going to happen, it's falling through, and it's time to give up. Even though that's facing me right now, where am I at? Am I staying with the Word of God and what I confessed and what I'm believing, or did I just chalk it up as a loss and move on?
Amen.
Amen. So Satan's always trying to get us to say what he wants us to see. You know, he'll let you know or try to convince you to say that you're running out, you have cancer, nobody cares about you, you're a failure, you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And if you see yourself running out, then you won't give your last and you won't give your best as well.
Amen.
Amen. If you see yourself as running out, you won't give your last and you won't give your best as well. Amen. And that, what I'm talking about is can God just lay it on your heart to give somebody $100 even though that's your last $100?
Yes.
Are we able to do it? And it's easy right now to say, yeah, heck yeah. Right. Yes. Every time. Yes. All the time. But wait till that hunter's sitting there and he asks you to do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it. And you got bills that's looking at you, even though you have a hunter to pay that bill. And he says, hey, why don't you go ahead and just sow that right here?
Right.
See, the things that we've had to walk through, it's not just something that I've heard about.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's been times we've gave up 1,000 or 2, and that's all we had to our name.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
But if God can trust me with that, what else is going to come into my hands? Because if he can't trust me with the 5 or the 100, why would there more finances or things come to me to be able to bless other people with? Because he know I'll hold on to them if I don't bless anybody with it. But if he can trust me, he knows whenever he puts it on my heart, hey, do this, he knows I'll do it. Because when the pressure comes, let's be honest, it's hard. It's easy right now to say, I'll do it. But when pressure's there staring you right in the face saying, how are you going to feed your family? How are you going to get gas? You're going to be walking to work. If you don't do something with this money, you better not give it right now.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, yeah, we'll do it. But whenever it's facing us, what are we doing? I mean, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? He said, look, the king said, look, you don't bow. I got to kill you. You're going to go in the fire. And it's like I can see them. Just a smirk comes on their face. The God that I serve. The God that I serve. Hallelujah. We'll just read it real fast. Amen. Glory be to God forevermore. Let's just start at 14 because we need to. Amen. Time is going that way. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, I'm reading King James, there you are, said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and
dulcimer.
Thank you. And all kinds of music, which I find it amusing how they spelled music. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And then God tells you, go ahead and sow that 100 right there. And then Satan comes up and says, if you do, you are walking to work. If you do, your electricity's getting shut off. If you do, you don't have any groceries in the house. How are you going to eat? How? How? You know good and well you don't get paid for another week. What's going to happen if you give this away? Satan doesn't just talk to you about that kind of stuff. You understand that? He puts the same thoughts in everybody's mind that God's laying on their heart to say, hey, sow this here. You think it's just easy for us to do it?
No.
Next verse, please. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. That's a key. What'd they do?
Answer.
Answer lack.
That's right.
Amen.
Answer lack.
Amen.
Answer lack.
Yes.
Answer sickness.
Yes.
Answer disease.
Yes.
Answer depression.
Yes.
Answer fear.
Yes.
Answer anxiety.
Yes.
Because it's a sin to worry. Everybody knows that, right? It's a sin to worry. Right? That one pastor said that he'd much rather have doubt peddlers in his church than dope peddlers in his church than doubt peddlers. Because it's so easy when somebody starts worrying and then doubt just comes right along with it. People are more susceptible to just link right up with the worry and the doubt. But they know dope is bad. But yet, if we read in the Word of God where it talks about don't be anxious or have any anxiety about what? Anything. What is anything?
Everything.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, well, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because, you know, the doctor said this and that. Well, you ask God. You know, a lot of times when we say we prayed about it, we just go, well, you know, if I feel good about it. But did you get an answer? Amen. Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not what?
Careful.
Look, and I just see a smile on their face. Oh, king, we ain't worried about answering you right now. Amen. Next, please. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, what? Is what?
Able.
I'd highlight that and write that down. Able.
Yes.
Is able. They know exactly who God is and what he's capable of.
That's right.
Is able. Y'all see that, right?
Yes.
Who we serve, what? Is what?
Able.
See, that answers the next verse. Go to the next verse, please. It says, but if not. See, some people say, well, maybe they're questioning it. No, they just answered the question. They said, he is able. But If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. He's just saying, but look, even if he didn't, we still wouldn't serve your golden image. They're not saying, but if he doesn't do it, they already answered the question. They said, he is what?
Able.
But if not, pretty much saying, and even if he doesn't, we still ain't or couldn't or not couldn't, but wouldn't or doesn't, we still wouldn't serve your golden image. We still wouldn't. Yeah.
That's another way to look at that. But if you don't put me in the fire.
Yeah, and if you don't put me in the fire, I still won't serve them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So they stuck with it. The pressure was applied. Look, you're about to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Are you going to lay down? Or are you going to stay where you're at?
Amen. That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And like I said, it's easy whenever we're in a church setting to say, amen, we can do it. But when we're outside the doors, how are we acting? Amen. And this doesn't just apply to y'all. This applies to me and Pastor Chelsea as well. Amen. Hallelujah. I spilled water. Excuse me. Turn over to Hebrews 11:33 in the Passion, please. Satan will show people a picture of them being in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s and not even being married yet or having kids.
Yep.
And so now the pressure's on to where we'll just marry whoever we need to marry.
Right. Amen.
It's funny the decisions we make when pressure is applied. A lot of times people make decisions solely out of pressure and not out of the word.
Yes.
I've made them before. Yep. Amen. Like I'll be believing God for something, right? Might as well talk about me. I'm up here. Be believing God for something. And then, deadline's coming. And then I'm like, man, you know what? I'm sticking with my guns. I'm staying with it. Hallelujah. And then the next week passes by and, well, you only got a few weeks left. Deal with that thought. Sticking with my guns. And then all of a sudden the thought comes, well, you got a week left. Well, you could probably just borrow that money from here. And so now you get online and start looking at different agencies that'll let you borrow money, or you'll start checking out your credit score to see where it's at. Hey man, I'm just talking about myself right now. Amen. Because see, when pressure's applied, are we staying with it? Because it looks easy. And honestly, it is easy. It truly is. We make it hard. We make it hard whenever we just succumb to the thoughts that Satan's trying to bring. If we'll just go ahead and deal with them. Just deal with them and replace them with the word of God. Instead of answering our thoughts, a lot of times we just say, not my thought, and let it go. Whenever we need to be answering the thought with, I have a supply. Or I believed, I received whatever I prayed for. Every time that thought comes, well, are you sure? You know, you don't have that money yet. I believed, not I believe, but I believed, I received whenever I prayed. Why are you saying with the ED? Because that's past tense. Because whenever I prayed over there, that's when I received it. Well, you don't have it in your hands. You're looking naturally. I believed I received it then. I have it. Well, where's it at? I have it. Well, show it to me. I have it. Faith almost makes you look crazy sometimes. But who cares if we're getting results with it? Did you get a... Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established what? This is the key part. Their faith did what?
Fasted.
faith, their faith fastened onto their promises and did what to them? Their faith, not your wife, not your husband, not your pastor, not your best friend, not who you're hanging out with, not the prayer chain that you called into. Because see, I can, let's say Steve asked me and Pastor Chelsea to pray with him on something about believing God for some finances or something like that. And so we say, all right. And so we pray with him. And then we ask him, is it done? And he goes, well, I hope so. Is it done?
No.
Because see, he's hoping and we believed.
Yes.
So see, his unbelief will nullify the effects of my faith and it won't come to pass. And so that's why some people are like, well, I don't know why my faith's not working, or the pastor's faith not working. No, our faith is working, but it, whenever you're off by yourself, what are you saying? Man, my back is killing me. Man, I can't believe I still have this disorder. I can't believe my bank account's still zero. See, we can believe God with you about something, but what are we saying when we're off by ourselves? Are we nullifying the effects of the faith that we released earlier? And a lot of times whenever we use our faith, we're using our faith. We're using it. But then we allow our mouth to slip us up and just nullify what we've been believing God for. And then we think that, well, we don't have enough faith. Well, I better do this. I better do that. I better do this. Whenever we just need to shut our mouth and not talk doubt and unbelief. Amen. I'm talking about myself again. Amen. Their faith fastened on to their promises and pulled them into reality. Right? What does that look like? Whatever you believed God for, you received it. It pulled it right into reality. How many of y'all's received something before that you was believing God for? That there was no evidence of it at all. It pulled it right into reality. That's what faith does. That's the purpose of faith.
Yes.
And that's why believers, God gave everybody that got saved the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Because before you're saved, you just have human faith, right? And what is faith? It's a trust, correct? And so see, before you're saved, people just, they believe in the system because that's all they know. But whenever you get saved, then there's the God kind of faith. And that comes from the word of God, correct? Amen. So through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Amen. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. Amen. And another example, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The guy that opened the fiery furnace died instantly, but they were thrown in. And so when they came out, the ropes were burnt off. They walked out because it says that the king looked in there and saw four of them walking around, correct? Well, you can't walk around if you're tied up. They were thrown in tied up, correct? But yet nothing burned but the ropes that tried to stop them from doing what they knew to do. Right? The thing that tried to hinder them got burnt off of them and no scarf was left on them at all. Amen. It was faith that shut the mouth of lions. Amen. Right? Actually, I'm going to stop with that one. Go over to Revelation 21:5 real fast, please. You can do that in the King James, it's fine. 21:5. Yeah, Revelation 21:5, because I was like, where did I tell y'all to go? And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I would highlight this and make a very important note. I make what? Hallelujah. I make, who's saying this?
God.
I make what?
All things new.
Hallelujah. Yes, he does. Because your faith will fasten hold of it and pull it into reality.
Amen.
If you don't get your mouth on it and speak wrong about it. Amen. And if you do, just say, you know what, God, I repent for that and I ask you to forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Amen. And move forward. Amen. Don't beat yourself up. Do not beat yourself up and say, well, it's a failure. I can't believe for that now. No, no. Just say, you know what? That was stupid. I repent for saying that. You know how many times I've had to do that? Look, it's just not something that I've heard about, right? I've had to live it. Still living it. Amen. Got to work on myself every single day. Amen. I make all things new. I think I've told y'all before. Actually, I had knee surgery in high school. And then I got into the military and I blew my knee out and had knee surgery. And then I had like one or two more after that. And this last one, you actually went with me, didn't you? After the knee surgery, I went back to see the doctor and he said, all right, look, man, here's the thing. You have no cartilage left, nothing, nothing. You've got nothing left in your knees. He said, the next step is knee replacement. And so I enjoy running. I didn't before. I used to just sprint. And so running, I didn't really enjoy it till I got in the military. And then I got to where I enjoyed it. And so I believed I received my healing that day we prayed. Amen. While I was up in Oklahoma, this old time camp meeting in October, Reverend Ricky was preaching and he said, I don't think I even told my parents about that. He said, is there somebody in here without any cartilage in their knee? An angel just brought some in. Yeah. So I went up and I've been running ever since. Ever since. Hallelujah. Knee used to just hurt because it was bone on bone. You ain't got no cartilage left in there and you try to run, you felt it. But glory be to God, I've been running every day. Does pain show up? It tries to. Pain tries to show up because Satan wants to see if I'll yield back to that. But I just tell him I was healed that day. Hallelujah. I got a brand new knee. I don't know what you're talking about, sucker. But my faith had to fasten on to that, and it's been a few years.
Yeah. Amen.
A few years. But my faith fastened on to it. Well, I've been believing that I've received it a long time. I did too, and it came into fruition. Don't let go.
Yes.
Don't let go. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we'll go to one more real fast. We'll just go to this one. 1 Corinthians, please, 10, 13. Do y'all hear music or something? Nope, just me not. Their faith hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is what?
Amen.
Who will not suffer you to be what?
Tempted.
Above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to fail. To do what?
Escape.
To do what?
Escape.
Amen. To escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then I've heard people say, well, God won't give me more than I can bear. No, that's just, no. Amen. This answers the question. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Saying that Satan just can't put something on you or try to tempt you with something that you can't resist. For us to say, well, the devil made me do it.
Yeah, no.
moving along. Amen. Now, you just yielded to it and then did it.
Amen.
Why did God make a way of escape? Because he knew Satan is putting pressure on us. That's why. And whenever pressure is applied, it makes us do silly stuff if we're not grounded. It really does. I'm sure y'all heard it, the foxhole religion or whatever. One night it's 8 o'clock, amen. One night we were doing missions and stuff like that. We ended up on this one house and we started getting into this gunfight. Pressure was applied. And whenever pressure applies, whatever you've been doing comes out without you even recognizing it. Did y'all know that? Because some of y'all are just staring at me like I'm like a cow at a new gate. Amen. Amen. Go get some pressure applied and see how you react. Amen. The pressure was applied that one time and the first thing out of my mouth was, you're going to have to get a job. So the system was my source now, because I looked at the system as the only thing that's going to be able to take care of this bill for us, Chelsea. God does not have the power or is able to handle this amount.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But pressure was applied, and so we did what we needed to do, and I looked over, and I seen a guy just kind of in the fetal position in a corner. I ain't going to say what I said. Amen. It wasn't nice. I didn't cuss or anything like that. I just told him, never mind. Amen. Amen. Because pressure was applied, and whenever pressure is applied, you will act different.
Yes, sir.
You will. If you're not grounded in the Word, you'll act how you always acted. You'll act like everybody else in the world. Because that's what we've been seeing. That's how we, at work, we see people with pressure applied and they just blow up ready to fight everybody. See, whenever pressure is applied to us, do we blow up or does the love of God just flow right out of us? Amen. It's easy to say, yeah, it's the love of God. Amen. I'd like to say it was the love of God every time, but it wasn't on my part. Amen. Because I was ready to fight all of them. Look, y'all just line up and we just handle y'all one at a time real fast and just wait off in you, right? Amen. But, I mean, I'm getting a lot better. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the Word of God. But the Word of God's not going to be able to do that if I'm not feeding my faith daily. If I'm feeding my faith daily on how everybody's acting and the reactions of everybody else, that's the first thing that's going to come out when pressure's applied. The first thing. Amen. The first thing of whenever we get bills or, you know, whenever the electricity bill comes in for August or something and it's over 800 or 600, how are we reacting? Turn off the AC.
Right.
Amen. Everybody's real quiet. Amen. It's all right. Amen. I just say turn it up. Amen. Keep it down. Don't turn it up because I don't like to be hot and sleep at the same time.
Right.
It's un-American. Amen. But do we have a source? Amen. Do we have a source? And that's the thing that we need to be answering. And it's just like when we go to, if we have a bump or if we have something that's going on, and if the first thing is we're Googling it and then go, well, I better do this. Pressure's applied. Pressure's applied. And now instead of even going to God, we go to Google. Amen. And then if we do believe God for something, a healing or whatever, and then the symptom tries to come back, pressure's applied, what's the reaction? Man, I thought I was over this. I knew they shouldn't have came over to my house. They told me they were sick. Amen. Yep. All right. All right, amen. It's 8:05. We'll pick up. God willing, and the creek don't rise next Wednesday. Amen. Well, did y'all get anything out of that? Amen. Amen. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you. And we thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you, Father God, we are doers of the word and not just hearers only. And I thank you, Father God, whenever the pressure is applied, because we know it will be, I thank you, Holy Ghost, just bring back to our remembrance this word. I thank you, Father God, that whenever pressure is applied, that we'll slow down to speak, Father God. We'll slow down to react. That way we get in line with the word and not with the world. Because the world reacts. Amen. But I thank you, Father God, with our reaction, it's the word of God reacting from the inside of us, coming out. Amen. So we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen.